in Psalm 30. I'm just going to read a portion of a verse to make the emphasis this morning. Our message is a five-word prayer. And our text is a statement in verse 10 of this 30th Psalm. Psalm 30:10. And these are the five words. Lord, be thou my helper. Lord, be thou my helper. Who is the fool that would not claim these five words as his or her own plea today? Lord, be thou my helper. It's so appropriate for any person, any situation, any circumstance. And whoever you are and whatever your situation is, this is appropriate. It is a bold expression of faith. Notice it's not worded as a question, Lord, would you be my helper? But rather springing from a definite relationship and a profound confidence, it's simply, Lord, be thou my helper. Let's look briefly at each of these five words before we get our main thought this morning. The first word of address, Lord. Lord. That's a word of acknowledgement. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says that no man can say, that is, truly say, that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, the religious world can say it, even the non-religious world can say it, the Lord this, and the Lord that, and so on. But to say it with conviction, to say it with heart, to say it with acknowledgement of who He really is, it requires the indwelling of the Holy Ghost to truly call Jesus Lord, is what he's saying. So it's a word of acknowledgement. Then it's a word of authority. Lord. Lord. Isaiah 45:5, he said, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. So a word of acknowledgement, a word of authority. Lord. And then the second word is be. Lord, be. It's a call for the Lord to step into whatever need I have. Lord, whatever I need, you be that. As one of your struggling sheep, be my shepherd. As a stranger and pilgrim in this world, be my friend. As a traveler, be my guide. As a weary one, be my rest. As a weak one, be my strength. As a foolish one, be my wisdom. As a fearful one, be my courage. As a fallen one, be my Savior. Be my restorer. Whatever I need, Lord, you be that. Then the third word is thou. Lord, be thou. That's a personal word. The psalmist is not addressing any and all false gods or man's ideas of deity, but it's Lord, be thou personally. You're the only one I'm looking to. You're the only one I'm trusting in. Thou. Then the fourth word is my. That's a very private word. My. Lord, I ask this for me. It's in my best interest to cry to the one that I believe can help me. And he's saying, Lord, I believe you to be in a class all by yourself. You're my hope. And I'm asking for me. Lord, help me. To say as the old song did, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. My, such a private word. Lord, be thou my. And then the fifth word is helper. 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 Lord, I don't want you to stay away. I want you to involve yourself with me. That'd be a good prayer for us, wouldn't it? I want you to involve yourself with me. I don't just need advice. I need your ability. I don't just need your input. I need your intervention. I don't need you as a distant deity, far away God. I need you as a close deliverer for my soul. I don't need you as a potential helper for out yonder in the future somewhere. I need you as a powerful helper for my present, where I'm at right now. Well, last Lord's Day, January 1st, New Year's Day, my mind had been so overwhelmed with various situations and circumstances, I hadn't even really been able to meditate on the fact. It hadn't really registered with me that we were already in a new year. I'm about a week behind. I think that's dawned on me now. But today, January 8th, I want to present this text, this five-word prayer, as a New Year's prayer. A New Year's resolution, if you don't mind that terminology, that we, both as individuals and as a congregation, embrace these five words. Lord, be thou my helper. We need this with a strong conviction that in our waking moment, first thing in the morning, our mind would be, Lord, be thou my helper. And with moving lips and tongue to utter it and say it audibly, Lord, be thou my helper. It's so big. These five words, they first of all confront and clash with our depraved nature, with human pride, sinful pride, to be independent of God. These words clash with our nature, which would jump out of bed saying, I know what I'm doing. I'm able to do it. And all I need out of God or anybody else today is just to stay out of my way. You say, oh, I'd never say anything like that. I know that's putting it bluntly. But thanks to a sinful nature, that is what you are. That is who you are. But oh, for the humbling of grace, for the light of grace, the abundance of mercy that we recognize and confess our weakness and our inability. And for grace to cry out with the psalmist, Lord, be thou my helper. So I just want to refer to three things briefly this morning. We'll not be very long. Number one, Lord, be thou my helper. in my efforts to understand and to submit to thy strange providence. I do know that suffering is a tool in God's hands that He uses for the humbling and for the maturing of His people. I do know that the trying of our faith is a necessary thing, a very valuable thing. But I'm just going to be honest with you, I still don't like it that so many bad things happen to so many good people. And so many good things happen to so many bad people. Even King Solomon, with all his wisdom, he had a problem with it. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, he as good as said, there's no advantage to living godly rather than ungodly. He said, good comes to the wicked, evil comes to the godly. None of it makes any sense. But I want to say that I've been helped greatly by the old psalmist Asaph in Psalm 73. And I'd encourage you to read Psalm 73. He said, I was in a mess. My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You say, oh, well, I'd never be like that. Is that so? Is that so? I was envious at the wicked when I saw, or the foolish, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And Asaph went on to say in that 73rd Psalm, he said, seems like they don't have trouble like other men. Their family's never sick. And seem like they never have a problem of any kind. Their lives really are a bed of roses, looks like. And Asaph said, that was eating me alive. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. What did he mean by that? He meant I understood that God had set them in slippery places. All their good times, all their prosperity, all their pleasure, all their ease in this life, God set them in slippery places. Not to slip and fall in this world, but to live in this world free from pain, full of pleasure and prosperity, such as to never see their need of God and to die and slip off into hell forever. He said, I was envious of that crowd until I saw that this is the only heaven they have. Until I saw that God had let them have it so nicely in this world to live so as to never be brought to consciously see and feel their need of Him. In so many words, Asaph was saying, I saw then that my trouble is my treasure. And we don't really like to say that, do we? My trouble is my treasure. Oh, but it is. Oh, but it is. And whatever it takes to maintain in my heart and in your heart a strong conviction that we so greatly need God, those things are treasures in disguise. Whether it be cancer, whether it be a bummed up knee, a bummed up shoulder, whatever it is, these things, if they create and maintain in our hearts a strong conviction that I so greatly need God, those things are treasures in disguise. But knowing this as I do, I still catch myself at times grumbling in my spirit and arguing with the Lord about His works of providence. And I do so greatly need this prayer. Lord, be Thou my helper in my efforts to understand and submit to Thy strange providences. Somebody says, I'm just amazed every day. I just really look forward to whatever it is the Lord's going to do, and I'm just amazed at what He does. Yeah. Everything's just lovely. I just love every way everything goes. Stay away from me. I have problems with the way a lot of things go. But at the same time, I know that things go God's way. Second thought. You're acting like I'm in left field or something. I don't know. But here we go. Second thought. Now, I done promise you I'm not going to be very long, so listen to me. Number two. Lord, be Thou my helper in acknowledgement of my spiritual poverty. It is only in full realization of our unworthiness and our inability that we can approach God rightly. Approaching God rightly is the helpless crying to the helper. I think of the prayer of the poor Canaanite woman in Matthew 15. She could only say, Lord, help me. Three words. Simon Peter, sinking beneath the waves, could only say, Lord, save me. Three words. In their desperation, they skipped all the preliminaries of prayer, and they skipped all the formalities of prayer, and they just cried, Lord, help. Help, Lord. I want to ask you this morning, do you ever feel the prayerlessness of your prayers? I do. God forbid that we should ever be identified with the Pharisee in Luke 18. He said, Lord, you know how well I've lived and what good things I've done, how I've done everything right. He was really saying, I am worthy that you would hear me. It's really what he was saying. I go to church just about every Sunday. I'm better than most people I know. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your breath. We enter God's presence by a new and living way. And it's not your way. It's not my way. Hebrews 10:19-20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. Could I remind you that all the good deeds you've ever done, all put together, is not enough to secure you a safe entrance into God's presence even one time. No. But by His blood, the way is opened up. And we can freely approach God by Christ's merits. Never by ours. Never by ours. There is a certain religious society in our area of the country. So conservative, they say, that the longer they live and walk the narrow road, so called, the more qualified they are and the more worthy they are to approach God and expect His blessing. But you see, real life is just the opposite. The New Testament is just the opposite. The Apostle Paul is a good example. He saw his life go in the other direction. Early in his ministry, he had made the statement to the Corinthians, "I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle." And I'm the least one of the bunch. Well, that was quite a confession. But sometime later he said, "I am less than the least of all saints." Not only am I the most unworthy of all the apostles, but of all God's children in all the world, in every generation, I am less than the least of any of them. What about a man like the Apostle Paul making a statement like that? But he's not through. The longer he lived as an old seasoned saint, he one day opened his heart to his friend Timothy in a personal letter. And he said, "Timothy, I tell you what, of all the sinners Christ Jesus came into the world to save, I'm the chief. I'm the worst one of all." You see, most folks' religion has got them a little more worthy than they once were. They're going the wrong direction. The old patriarch Abraham came to the place in life of saying, "I am but dust and ashes. Ain't nothing to me. It's all God." Job saw his spiritual poverty and he said, "I abhor myself. I despise myself. I know what I ought to be. And I can look in the mirror and dress up the outside pretty good. But I know in here, it's garbage. I abhor myself." Jeremiah saw it and said, "I am become vile." Isaiah saw it and said, "I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." David saw it and said, "I'm a worm. I'm nothing." Paul saw it and said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And I pray, oh Lord, help me to see it. Help you to see it. Oh Lord, be thou my helper in acknowledgement of my spiritual poverty. It don't matter that friends think I'm a pretty good fella. I mean, you might find one or two that would say that. I don't know. And it don't matter that friends think you're a pretty good person. But to look in the mirror and say, "Lord, you know me. You know me." You know I'll take the credit if you'll let me. You know me. But Lord, please don't let me. Lord, be thou my helper in acknowledgement of my spiritual poverty. And then the third thought, Lord, be thou my helper in believing thy sure promises. In believing thy sure promises. And this addresses the problem of unbelief that we all have. It's often been stated, how many times does the Lord have to say something for it to be true? And of course, the answer is only once. Only once. But how many times do I have to read it to believe it? That's another question. I read it a million times. Still catch myself not believing it. But you see, the answer again is only once. Only once effectually. Only once with the Holy Spirit pressing it on my heart and in my heart. I believe it when He helps me believe it. No other time and no other way. That's why I need Him. And I must cry to Him, Lord, be Thou my helper. We identify so clearly with the man in Mark 9 who said, Lord, I believe, help Thou mine unbelief. We testify this morning that we're believers, but like this man, at the same time, we're eat up with unbelief. Lord, be Thou my helper. You see, you don't have to hold God to His promises. He holds Himself to them. He can be trusted to do what He said He'd do. You don't have to twist His arm. He'll do it. He'll do it. One other thought, and I'll be through. And I want you to get this thought with this challenge for the new year. We referred earlier to the prayer of the woman in Matthew 15, Lord, help me. And the prayer of Peter sinking beneath the waves, Lord, save me. How are those prayers different from this of our text? Lord, be Thou my helper. Well, here's the difference. Here's the difference. You get sick and you go to the doctor. And the plea is, Doc, help me today. I'm sick. But suppose you have moved to another town and you're looking for a new doctor and you try one and you like him. Then your question is not just, will you doctor me today? Your question is, will you be my doctor? From now on, that I can come to, that I can depend on, that I can trust for help when I need you. And the psalmist here is saying more than, Lord, help me. He's saying, Lord, be Thou my helper. I want you to be the one that my heart will look to and trust in and depend on from now on. So that's our prayer this morning. Lord, be Thou my helper. Not just for today, but for all year and for all of life. Oh, we're all going to have these getting this pinch. These sudden emergencies. You see the blue light behind you and say, Lord, help me. Or you slip and fall. And you hear that leg or arm pop. Lord, help me. This is more than that. This is, Lord, be Thou my helper. Not just to solve problems outwardly, but to solve my heart problem. Lord, be the one that I trust in, whether it's sunshine or storm, whether it's daylight or dark, whether it's many friends or no friends, whether it's a pocket full of money or not a dime to my name, Lord, be thou my helper. Lord, if you'll be there for me, you're big enough to make the difference. Lord, be thou my helper. Happy New Year. Stand together.